Second principle of God awareness is to refrain from idol worship. Well, that seems easy. Last I checked, I don't have any idols lying around. But before we get into what this means, let's delve a little deeper into relationships. Pirkei Avos, Ethics of Our Fathers, teaches us that there are two types of relationships, those that last and those that don't. Well, what's the distinguishing factor? Whether or not the underlying love is conditional. Love that is conditioned on anything is doomed to failure. Love that lasts a lifetime must be unconditional. Why is that? Because the oxygen of a relationship is giving. If a party is taken, it doesn't work. When love is conditional, then the cornerstone of the relationship is based on taking, and that's a fatal flaw. With that as a background, let's understand idol worship. We assume that idol worship was the practice of a bunch of foolish, incoherent, unsophisticated people with paint on their faces, bowing to statues, doing weird dances. That's not us. We're too sophisticated. We know that wood is not worth worshiping. But that doesn't fully capture idol worship. The fact that the practice was widespread for thousands of years and the Torah constantly reminds us to refrain must give us pause to further understand it. Idol worship started with a man named Enosh, the grandson of Adam, the first man. Enosh knew that God created the world. His grandfather was created by God himself. He was in awe of nature and saw it as a manifestation of God's power. From his grandfather Adam, he understood nature's inner workings and how to manipulate it to get what he desired. And it worked. At first, idol worshippers recognized God. They understood that he created a system, but through their rituals, they also knew how to bring success, comfort, and wealth into their lives through it. But over time, as they were getting what they wanted, they dropped God altogether. Well, why drop God? Because idol worship is a system designed to get things, to fulfill one's needs. It's about me. As soon as I get what I want, everyone and everything becomes irrelevant. Once they figured out God's system, they didn't need God, so they dropped him. Well, what does that have to do with us? Why do we have needs? God could have created us in any way he wanted. He could have created us in a state of perfection. No desires, no illness, no needs. We think that the point of life is to fulfill our needs. It's the opposite. We have needs to fulfill our purpose in life. Our needs enable us to grow in ways we wouldn't otherwise be able to. When my kids were growing up, I used this principle to help them start walking. See, they would crawl, stand up, take a step, fall, pick themselves up, and do it again. To motivate them, I held a lollipop right outside their grasp, so they focused on the lollipop and forgot the walking. Kids want lollipops. Parents want them to walk. The key to life is growth. Life isn't about how much you have. It's about how much you grow. Those that grow each day have the most fulfilling lives. If we were born perfect, we'd be bored and unhappy. The difference between a relationship with God and idol worship is our focus. Idol worship says the goal of life is stuff, lollipops, comfort, wealth, pleasure, and any system that I can manipulate to get stuff, I will. If I can manipulate nature, great. If I can manipulate God, great. The focus is me. I'm a taker. A real relationship with God is not contingent on fulfilling my needs. The needs I have are ways to push myself to grow towards something bigger, to grow towards a relationship with God. The ultimate thing I want is the relationship, the connection, not the item on my wish list. If I pray for things and don't get them and then stop praying, that's a relationship based on taking, not giving. That's not love. That's spiritual shopping. We all want things, but our life goal is not getting them. It's to use the needs as a way to perfect ourselves and get close to God. We want to walk, not just eat lollipops. The second principle of God awareness, refraining from idol worship, focuses us on becoming a giver and not a taker. When our love for God is not contingent on getting anything from Him, it will form the bedrock of a relationship that will last a lifetime.